Well, I bring you greetings this morning from Stallings Drive Church in Nacogdoches, and especially from David and Jamie Moon. That's where they attend, and they send their love to all the brethren here. I was also privileged to see Dennis Abernathy, who preaches in nearby White Oak. He and his wife were there Monday night. And on Tuesday night, the whole Cawthon family were there. So I got to visit with them and greet our new brother Davy in the Lord. And so all these send their well wishes to you and are thankful for what you mean to them. I'm glad to be home and be with you this morning. So many we've been praying for are here, and we thank God for that. And others we need to fervently pray for with the same confidence that He will answer. I want to ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and read with me a few verses from the Word of God to begin. If you have your Bible or can look on with someone, I encourage you to open to the first chapter of 1 Samuel. And we'll start reading at verse 1. Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim-Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zophim, Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts, Shiloh. And two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. And it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? It might surprise you to know that up to this point of Bible history, only the prayers of men have been recorded. Now, that doesn't mean two things. Number one, doesn't mean that women were not praying during this time. We understand that Bible history is not a record of everything that happened every day. And the second thing it doesn't mean is that women are not important to God. But what it does highlight for us, especially when we're going to see the subject of Hannah's prayer, is what most women of Bible times prayed about. They wanted a baby. For our generation, there might be some married couples who choose not to have children, for various reasons, be it health or financial. But in Bible times, the number of children you had was sometimes seen as a divine blessing, that this was God's favor on you. They would have also seen personally the responsibility to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And so if God is now withholding that from me, well, He must be displeased with me for some reason. You recall, for instance, when Sarai gave her handmaiden to Abram, she did so concluding, for she said, "The Lord has prevented me from having children." Genesis 16 and verse 2. Later, when Rachel became jealous of Leah, she provoked Jacob to anger, causing him to ask, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Genesis 30 and verse 2. And even in the New Testament, when Elizabeth finally became pregnant with John the Baptist, she said, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace from among men." Luke 2 and verse 25. Women prayed to have a baby. I want you to appreciate what that means. That which we often view as a last resort, when all else fails, I'm going to pray. They did first. And it's ironic, isn't it? When you think of the communication age that we live in, and how important we see being connected. I mean, we will go to great lengths to keep our streaks going on Snapchat and Instagram. I once heard of somebody who was going to be away on a cruise where they weren't going to have cell phone service, and so they gave their password, login information to somebody else to keep it going for them till they got back home. That's how important it was. But think of how we've lost touch with God, and we won't think anything of going days, weeks, even months without prayer. We have fervent prayers to offer this week. We as a congregation are involved in something that's going to affect us far into the future. It deserves our prayerful consideration. But what does prayer prove? Why is it so important? I want you to consider three things. The first thing prayer proves is that God is. When we pray, we are demonstrating our faith that God exists, that he is hearing our petitions. It proves that God is. Notice verse 9. Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, and she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me and not forget thy maidservant, but will give thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Hannah understood that her condition was such that she was powerless to do anything about it. Just like other women of the Bible, God had closed her womb. What am I supposed to do? Where do I turn now? You go to the one in whom there is nothing that's impossible for him. And And out of her great distress, she didn't turn to her friends. She didn't turn to the pleasures of life. She didn't turn to despair and discouragement and be overcome by that. She turned to the Lord. Why? Because God is. And if there's anyone who can do something about it, it's Him. Isn't it interesting when we have some tragedy in our country and people start responding through social media or interviews on the news? This phrase has come under fire. Thoughts and prayers. Why? Because some people think, well, that's not good enough. That doesn't do anything. We need to pass a law. We need some bill to go through Congress. Thoughts and prayers aren't cutting it anymore. Well, not so with men and women of faith. People who believe in God, who know that He can do what we cannot, that there is nothing impossible with Him. Prayer proves that God is, and He's hearing us, and that He can. The next time you're in a situation that's impossible, and you can't do anything, remember, God is. My kids were younger, and people would ask, how old are your children? And I'd say, well, they're 4 and 2, or they're 6 and 4. Sometimes the response would come, oh, well, they're still the age where they think you can do anything. Have we forgotten that our Father can do anything? Anything. He created the world. Hannah shows later in chapter 2 when she offers her prayer of thanksgiving. Spoiler alert, she gets the son she asked for. Now she's praying in chapter 2 to thank God. And notice what she highlights about Him. Verse 2. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides Thee, nor is there any rock like our God. Verse 5, those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to 7. She who has many children languishes. To Hannah, God created the world. Surely He can create life in a barren womb. God is. Prayer proves that. I don't have to try to do it on my own. I don't have to work the impossible. God is. And when I pray, I show my faith in His existence. Number 2, prayer proves not only that God is, but that God cares. Can you imagine that? He cares. Someone who has that much power and wisdom, and He cares what I say. Someone who created the world, and He cares what's going on in my world. When we pray, we prove that God cares and can change. Look at verse 12. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Well, if our thoughts about prayer center around a few phrases that we've heard people say, or just using, as Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, vain repetition, could it be that God said nothing because he heard nothing? Did you notice that Hannah spoke out of this great concern and poured out her soul to the Lord? She held nothing back. This had been on her mind year after year. She knew God cared to hear what she was saying. That her concerns had now become his. God cares. Even when you think no one else does, I'm all alone, nobody understands, nobody cares, God cares. Keep your place here, but look at 1 Peter chapter 5. At an assurance the apostle gives us in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5. "Humble yourselves," he said in verse 6, "under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares upon him." Why? Because he cares for you. Now, you know what our problem is? We cast our cares, and then we go and collect them all back. Peter said, "You cast them on him, all your cares." The New American Standard has, "all your anxiety upon him," knowing that he cares for you. Prayer proves that God cares. When was the last time you poured out your soul to him? I mean, you've been carrying it around and it's been heavy. You can feel it on your shoulders and you're tense and you're worried and you stay up all night long. When was the last time you poured out your soul to him, knowing he cares for you? I know I've told you about the cartoon I found of two people at the altar getting married. And they're both on their cell phones while the preacher's doing the vows. And he says to them, "I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may update your status on Facebook." Oh, we're concerned about that. We want to stay connected. You think God really cares for you? Prayer proves that. Even the expression of it to Hannah, she did not know for certain whether she was going to have a baby, but just the expression of it to God changed her countenance. Just turning it over to Him, casting her cares. Now she was able to go away happy. Prayer proves that God cares. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 18 to show that we at all times ought to pray and not lose heart. Remember, she continued to pray. Her prayers were multiplied because she knew God is and God cares. And then number three, prayer proves that God knows. God knows. This wasn't the first time she'd prayed for a baby. So we can know that before the end of chapter 1, God had told her no. Verse 19, then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. I want you to notice that the text says it came about in due time. We need to understand when we pray that God not only knows what is best, He knows when it's best. In due time, He answered Hannah's prayer for a baby. It is never revealed to us why God waited and why this was the right time when before that it was not. We're not given that information. Prayer proves that we're going to trust that God knows. And we're turning something over to Him, but our will is not His will. He knows. Remember when I was in college, I prayed that God would intervene in my life in such a way that He would operate on the heart of this young girl and make her feel about me the way I felt about her. And you know what God said? He said no. You know, I've thanked Him for that. Because then I wouldn't have met Melissa. And we wouldn't have Morgan and David. God knows. In due time, there was somebody better. Prayer proves that. Think about times when you prayed for something and you have poured out your heart to God. And He said no. Are we going to trust that he is on his throne and trust that his will is best? Or is this going to cause us to lose our faith and abandon him? God knows. And Hannah, who had vowed to God what she would do if he answered her prayer, gave her son as a Nazarite, who would then become the last judge of Israel. All Hannah wanted was a baby boy. What she got was a man who would help bridge the gap between the last judge and the first king of Israel. A man whose name is listed in Hebrews 11 and verse 32 in that great chapter of faith in the Bible. A man whose name was passed on to another couple at Southside who prayed for a baby, and God heard their prayer, and so they named him Samuel, Lewis and Missy House. God cares. God knows. You really believe that? When you're offering prayers this week for Charlene Stover and John Banks and for the Southside Church, what will it prove? Let's not use it as a last resort. Let's turn to the Lord first. God hears the prayers of the righteous. Are you confident this morning that the Lord hears yours? We're going to sing an invitation song that would encourage you to be right with Him. Isaiah said it's not that the Lord can't hear or his arm can't reach you. Your sins have separated you from your God, caused him to hide his face from you. Would you want to leave this assembly in that condition? Then come and confess your faith and, repenting of your sins, be baptized. Come back to the Lord if you've been away from him, and the relationship needs to be restored. We want to help. Let us know right now while we stand up and while we sing.